Blog Talk Radio.
Washington's birthday, the official date, and of course on this day, the 22nd of February, several political parties were formed or met for the first time. The Republican Party met in Michigan, Prohibition Party, I misspelled it, Labor Reform Party, it's really needed now, Greenback Party, and the Union Labor Party, which has its connection to San Francisco's public corruption. This dates back to the 1906 earthquake and Mayor Eugene Schmidt. We still have remnants of this party. They're closet communists. On this day, Harold Washington was the first black to be elected Chicago's mayor. He was baptized a Roman Catholic, but became a Methodist. Now, on this day, also in 1971, Assad Sr., who was a lieutenant general in the Syrian army, he seized power in Syria, and his family has been in control. His son has been in control ever since then. And, of course, Syria is constantly in the news, and there's all this controversy about trying to overthrow the Assad family. On this day also, Sir Robert Baden-Powell, the founder of the Boy Scouts, helped form the Girl Guides, which later became the American Girl Scouts. Judith Gordon Lowe is the foundress, I guess you'd say that, of the American Girl Scouts. Among the interesting deaths on this day, Jean-Baptiste Lully, he was a French musician. He was a conductor who used a broomstick or a staff to beat the time. However, he hit his foot in a moment of enthusiasm. The foot got gangrene and died from that. So conductors today use a smaller stick. Some conductors do not use a baton at all. When I was in music school, our conductor used a solder baton, and when you made a mistake, he'd hit you with it, and boy, did it hurt. On this day also, these German patriots, young students, the brother and sister, Sophie and I think it's André Scholl, were anti-Nazi German students. They were captured, interrogated by the Gestapo, and executed. The Gestapo used an axe. That was something, a special death for traitors. Also on this day, Alexander Scourie, the brilliant voiceover for NBC's Victory at Sea, the longest piece of music and probably film series in history. It's longer than the Wagner's Ring of the Nibelungen, which takes about 21 hours total to perform all four operas. Victory at Sea is about 20 minutes later, as I recall. It was very popular during the 50s, and it's back again. Also on this day... I think Angela Lansbury. Oh, something happened here. she was in the famous movie Manchurian Candidate, where she played the manipulative closet communist who was manipulating her husband into the vice presidency and set him up for an set up the presidential candidate for an assassination using her son. And of course, it's a great movie. It was one of Frank Sinatra's first major movies. The first one was From Here to Eternity, and then he did this one, and then also he did Suddenly, which is also dealing with presidential candidate or presidential assassination. Suddenly dealt with President Truman coming through a western town on the train, and they were going to assassinate him, but they outsmarted. The train didn't stop. Interestingly, American public television featured these two movies this past Saturday on public TV here in San Francisco. It seems interesting or coincidental that these films were both shown the day after the South Carolina controversial presidential candidate primary. So that's quite interesting. Also, there's a picture of Hillary Clinton, President Bill Clinton, he was president at the time, since been impeached, giving an award to Angela Lansbury. And there are some people who think that there seems to be a similarity between the role that Angela Lansbury played as the manipulative closet communist mother in Manchurian Candidate and Hillary Clinton, her duplicity. Now, what's interesting, a lot of people do not know that Angela Lansbury's father, George Lansbury, was a famous British politician. He was a communist. He was in prison briefly. And she comes out of that background, and she hasn't lost her British accent. Excuse me. Now, also, on our political corruption, 22 years ago, we informed the U.S. attorney with documentation that there was ongoing increasing public corruption at San Francisco City Hall, and it's documented. The FBI asked for a flowchart. This was reluctantly given because it's got to be a line drawn between media and government investigative agencies. They only do it in cases of national security. That's what I learned when I was in broadcasting school. Anyway, you hear about it, and of course there's going to be a sentencing Wednesday of a Chinese immigrant, I believe he came here legally, Leland Yee, who was a psychologist, who was also member of the San Francisco school board, where there was public corruption, contracts and the like, and pedophilia promoted by some of the board members on the San Francisco school board. Then he became supervisor on the, which would be alderman or selectman, depending how you look at it or what part of the country you're at. We call them supervisors. Anyway, he was head of the budget committee, and in that role, he approved and oversaw and approved millions of dollars going to employees of the Board of Supervisors, which was very illegal, to say the least. So this may come up. We'll see. Anyway, people like Willie Brown, who is seen as the most corrupt black in California politics, are poo-pooing Leland Yee, hoping that the feds will put him away and he'll be quiet. Maybe he's talking. I don't know. We shall see what he shall see. He's still a relatively young man. He's in his, I think, very late 50s, early 60s. And his career as a psychologist and as a public figure is ruined, but he can still redeem himself by telling what he knows if he hasn't already. Also on this day, Mike Todd, the great movie director and producer, the last film he did was Around the World in 80 Days. Our school principal, Father Garrity, knew him, and Mike Todd sent a bus to pick us up and when we were in school to have a private showing in his theater in Chicago, and it was quite fun, although they didn't serve popcorn. Among the other events today, talking about popcorn, in 1630, the Indians introduced the Pilgrims to popcorn. I don't know what they used for oil in those days, maybe deer grease or something. In 1784, the China trade started out of New York. The ship Empress of China set sail around the Horn to get to China. I didn't know Spain had made a claim to the Oregon Territory, but in 1819, they renounced their claim to the Oregon Territory. Quite interesting. And if you remember the Five and Dime stores, there were two of them. F.W. Woolworth, Frank Woolworth, started his in Utica, New York, in 1879. There was later Cressage, and then there were some others. And then in 1887, the Union Labor Party started. 1924, Calvin Coolidge made the first radio address. Let's see if we can pull that up. Excuse me. Still got this bloody cold. He was kind of a drawl speaker, but it's interesting. Let's see if we can get him. Calvin Coolidge. Forgot about him. Come on, Cal. Okay. Here he is. Calvin Coolidge on the importance of a national budget. I don't know what happened here.
The country needs every ounce of its energy to restore itself. The costs of government are all assessed upon the people. This means that the farmer is doomed to provide a certain amount of money out of the sale of his produce, no matter how low the price to pay his taxes. The manufacturer, the professional man, the clerk must do the same from their income. The wage earner, often at a higher rate when compared with his earning, makes his contribution perhaps not directly, but indirectly in the advanced cost of everything he buys. The expenses of the government reach everybody. Taxes take from everyone a part of his earnings and force everyone to work for a certain part of his time for the government. When we come to realize that the yearly expenses of the governments of this country, the stupendous sum of about $7,500,000,000, we get $700,000,000 is needed by the national government and the remainder by local governments. Such a sum is difficult to comprehend. It represents all the pay of 5 million wage earners receiving $5 a day, working 300 days in the year. If the government should add $100 million of expense, it would represent 4 days more work of these wage earners. These are some of the reasons why I want to cut down public expense. I want the people of America to be able to work less for the government and more for themselves. I want them to have the rewards of their own industry. This is the chief meaning of freedom. Until we can reestablish a condition under which the earnings of the people can be kept by the people, we are bound to suffer a very severe and distinct curtailment of our liberty. These results are not fanciful. They are not imaginary. They are grimly actual and real, reaching into every household in the land. They take from each home annually an average of over $300, and taxes must be paid. They are not a voluntary contribution to be met out of surplus earnings. They are a stern necessity. They come first. It is only out of what is left after they are paid that the necessities of food, clothing and shelter can be provided, and the comforts of home secured, are the yearnings of the soul for a broader and more abundant life gratified. When the government effects a new economy, it grants everybody a life pension with which to raise the standard of existence. It increases the value of everybody's property and raises the scale of everybody's wages. One of the greatest favors that can be bestowed upon the American people is economy in government.
So that was Silent Cal wasn't silent that time. One time he was caught trying to talk a raccoon from coming down the tree. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. And we'll be back Wednesday, try to start at 4 p.m. And we're going to feature the best of our shows on Friday, or excerpts. We're also transferring the tapes to MP3. So we've got about, we've got to go through 1,000 of them, of a lot of interesting interviews that you're not going to hear anyplace else. And we'll also try to have more interviews with people, interesting people. I have them lined up. So only with our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average
Theater Paul Brazzola will be back Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stay safe, stay warm. It's pretty warm out here, so you folks coming out to get away from Buffalo or Boston's blizzards, welcome to the West Coast. But don't wear flowers in your hair. Good night.